My Flames took care of business last night.
Your big. Flames did?
Yeah, they were down fucking 2-1 to the Stars. Everybody was like, oh, they should sweep the Stars. And then all of a sudden, these bums are down 2-1 against them. They figured even the series up last night.
Wow, so it's 2-2 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, my game's 2-2 against Brian right now, and it's actually about to start here in 8 minutes, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I got to get my shit in. I completely forgot. Can't be a poser.
We're back in Carolina tonight.
Leafs, 2-2. Let's take the lead tonight.
What's the money line on that?
They are minus 130. They're home.
What's the spread?
I don't know.
Give the goals. Be a G. Give the goals. I can't imagine ever giving the goals in hockey. That's it feels like an insane bet. Unless you got some inside information, like the
over under on the goals.
No, like give the giving up a goal and a half or whatever. Like that just seems crazy in hockey.
Yeah, well,
it's not. I don't know.
You were taking you took the over 6 the one time, right?
I actually ended up taking the under and so I hit it.
And it's been hitting. Yeah. I was gonna say I feel like every game gets to like 5 and everyone chills out on the goals. They just stop scoring.
I honestly have zero clue how, I bet that I was like, yeah, over 6 looks good. And everybody's like, you're an idiot. It's over 6 is not good.
Yeah. That's like taking the over in soccer too.
Yeah. Which fucking probably never hits.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at that, the Tribe or Guardians no score first inning. It's minus 280 because it's been hitting so much.
It's going to hit again. I just took it.
You did?
Yeah. I took it in our pilot episode.
Pound Town Podcast. Will Burge. No Brian Kenny tonight.
No.
He's, I think he's bitch-ass positive. Steal that joke from Rowan earlier.
Yeah.
He is out tonight. Joe Pollock, clock in the camera angle this time.
Yeah.
That's what they actually look like. I'm sure you've seen him on social media, but if you haven't, we are presented by Barstool Sports. We are powered by Live Mixtapes. Go check out the Live Mixtapes app. All the new hip-hop. I think the Jack Harlow album's on there.
Yes. It might not be.
Yeah, because it's not a mixtape. So
no, I don't think it would be on there.
We're on there, though.
We are on there.
That's all that matters.
It just cracks me up every time I think about Brian's face on that app. It just doesn't
sticking fit. Out of the doghouse.
It just does not fit whatsoever. We got tons to talk about tonight. Drama at Barstool. We will address it. We'll go through it. We have to give our opinions on it. But I think it's funny because so many people are interested in the Barstool drama, but that is, especially at like your guys' age, That drama is the most relatable drama for anybody. Like that type of shit happens all the time. College kids, you have to go through it. If you live downtown, mm-hmm. I know you go through it down here. Maybe not you specifically, but that type of shit happens all the time down here. Yep. So we'll talk about that. Josh Naylor just went absolutely fucking apeshit last night. Came back and beat the White Sox. Huge win for them. Huge game for him. He set all kinds of records. We'll get to those. And then had an awesome video afterwards that maybe he wasn't so exactly excited about. I'll tell you guys about that.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear his take.
7,000 calorie day diet. One of the Browns linemen has it. So we're going to compare some diets on the show tonight, too. I want to know how many calories you fuckers are eating because I eat like none. I still keep getting fatter.
Not 7,000.
Deshaun blocked Daryl Ryder on Twitter.
Yep. Love it.
We got to talk about that as well. Kyrie shouted out Cleveland on a podcast, and then a couple other news and notes that we have to get through. Before we jump into any of that, though, want to remind you guys, June 10th, Friday, June 10th, we will be at Rum Runners in the Flats. It is the new iteration of the old Rum Runners. If you've ever heard of it, you're probably old. If you haven't heard of it, I guarantee your parents have. It was like the spot in the Flats back in the day. It's been redone. I just went there on Sunday with my mom, with myself and Jenna, took my mom and my stepdad down there.
Yeah.
The drinks were banging.
Really?
I mean, banging. We tried to go there the other night. Yeah. We all want to try to go there the other night. Yeah. It was closed up. And we went there on Sunday. It was gorgeous outside. We're hanging on the patio. I got a rum runner with a rum floater on top. You always got to go with the rum floater. It's just an extra shot. But it was...
Okay. Got to go with the floater.
Absolutely fantastic. OK Pants did a great job with all the marketing and labeling in the place, like the little cartoon bird and all the
it looks fucking awesome. Dude, it's outside. It's awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to go. June 10th.
Yep, it's and we'll be there from like 4 o'clock on. So they have a band playing from 5 to 8. We'll be doing a live podcast in one of the rooms. We'll be kind of hosting the night and then maybe killing some time for them, giving some stuff away between the band and the DJ, which will be on the patio if you want to come up and check that out. Fingers crossed for great weather. It's beautiful this week, so hopefully this carries
over. I think we got it.
I think so too. Positive vibes, right?
Yeah, June 10th. Has it ever rained on June 10th? I don't think it has.
The
Oracle has spoken. It's not going to rain.
Yeah, it's usually pretty sunny. So
there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, I was actually asking my dad about Rum Runners. I'm like, hey, yeah, do you remember that in the flats? And he was like, oh yeah. So I was like, I'm excited.
Yeah, my parents are hip to it too.
That's so funny because like every single person I've talked to, like my mom or my dad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I actually had a fake ID at 16. So I got like the last wave of the flats.
Okay.
So there's some places called like Splats, which was like a hip hop bar where they had Freestyle Fridays at. Wow. I was at that place. Beach Club. Anybody who's my age or even a couple years younger probably remember Beach Club. They had 18 and up night until it got shot up too many times and they had closing it down.
Shot up.
That was like literally the end of the flats. But they had an 18 and up college ID night. We all went to Cleveland State. And it was like my boy Mario, my dude Brandon, Stipe Miocic, like a whole bunch of those guys that like went to school up there. And we'd mob from the old dorms that were at Cleveland State. We'd just walk all the way down to the flats and go to Beach Club.
No shit, that's pretty badass.
Oh, it was fucking super hike, but it was worth every penny of that hike. So I'm trying to think of where else I went. There was like a couple other clubs, but I really can't remember. I was so damn young.
Shooters is the only one that survived, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So where the new East Bank is, there used to be bars there, and apparently that's they're like I can't think of the name they were saying, but there's like one of the big ones. Fagan's was right there, like where Forward is basically.
Mm-hmm.
And there, my mom and stepdad were going on memory lane out there, right? Because they partied down there.
Yeah, on the East Bank.
Oh yeah, and they were like, you know, it's funny because it went from the East Bank, and then the West Bank became popular, and the East Bank died. And that's when like Shooters and everything really got big. And then obviously the East Bank completely died until they built all this new iteration of everything. Super excited about it. Definitely come down and check us out. Like I said, June 10th, it's a Friday. Get out of work early. Come down there at 4 p.m. I just got off the phone with Michaela from Pink Whitney. We're going to have a whole bunch of great stuff. They have Pink Whitney on keg in that place.
Oh, shut up.
Pink Whitney that's on dangerous. Keg for, and I guess they're, I think they're doing like Pink Whitney mules on the menu or something.
Oh my God.
It's legit. So
that's dangerous.
Damn.
Yep. So we're going to have some fun down there that night. So make sure you mark it on your calendars. I want to start with the Guardians last night, which I didn't think we were going to start with Guardians because it's just getting to that point in the season where like early season excitement starts to wear off a little bit. Or even if it's still there, you're like, man, it's a long year, right?
Yeah.
There's really not a ton to get up for every single night. I'm not going to sit here and do what I used to have to do on WTM 1100, and that was fucking break down, nitpick Tito Francona's decisions in like the seventh inning.
Yeah.
When he pinched, you're like, fuck that. That's insane.
Yeah, pulling some, yeah.
Yeah, at this time of year. But dude, they gave us all the storyline we needed. I got to admit, I went to bed. I watched that seventh inning. I think it was 4-1 at that time. The rally got killed. And I was like, I'm done. I'm shut off. Dead tired. I shut it off, laid down, and went to sleep. Started watching Severance on Apple Plus. And I wake up this morning to text messages and videos and clocking Nick talking shit in the group chat.
Yeah, they're calling us out, yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, Josh Naylor just went fucking apeshit.
Yeah, he went into fucking God mode and just took over.
Awesome. Yeah, I was,
so you were watching it?
I wasn't watching. I was watching the NBA playoff game, so none better. But yeah, I mean, my phone was active. I got the message from Nick, and yeah, I clicked on the video, and it's Hammy going crazy.
Oh yeah,
to tie the game. I guess it was 8-2, and they tied the game in the ninth.
Huge comeback, yeah.
And then he fucking 20 minutes later, my dude Doug, he texted our group, my friend's group chat. He's like, Naylor again, oh my God. And he hit another home run. And then that video from Barstool, they sent that in the chat. And he was fucking, talk about that. I want to hear that shit. Like, he was fucking going crazy, dude.
So we'll get to that video. But, I mean, 8 RBI. By the way, I like how you said my friend group chat. Like, we're not his friends. So
yeah, I know. What?
We don't make the cut on the
I was like, I didn't get that text. What group chat? Yeah, what group chat?
Maybe I had that one on mute. I don't know. Maybe I didn't notice that one.
Sorry.
8 RBI, ninth inning or later, sets a, I think it's since 1920 or 1980 when they started keeping.
StatCast era or whatever then, the heck they call it.
MLB history. No one has ever had multiple 3+ run home runs because you had the grand slam and the 3-run home run, ninth inning or later in a game.
So that's both those game. Damn. Wait, so both of those were separate records that got broken last night.
That last night.
Post ninth inning, damn.
By Josh Naylor, a guy who nobody even knew if he was going to be any good anymore. And really wasn't that great last year before the injury. I mean, it was a gruesome injury. Mm. Wasn't having a great season. And there was a ton of question marks around this guy coming back. Dude, he's been nothing but electric, exciting. Like, he's quickly risen to my second favorite player on the Guardians.
Well, yeah, and that's what it seems like a lot with this Guardians team is like they're hitting as a team and the bats are going cold as a team, but there are those guys like Kwan sticking out, like now Naylor sticking out, Miles Straw, like you know what I mean? Everyone's like, everyone's doing something notable. While, yeah. Like it's kind of almost like the Cavs season. It feels like we're like, oh, this team's fun. Like it seems like the Guardians are starting to become like have that fun vibe to them.
Yeah.
And that's, I actually tweeted that the other day. I don't know who I was, and I was tweeting at somebody, and some dickhead jumped in my mentions like, oh, you guys, it's early in the season. Which they, they might not make the playoffs. I think we all, I don't think we're all getting swept away like, hell yeah, this is a World Series contender, because they're fucking not, especially the way the starting pitching is at this moment.
No, but as long as they're competing.
Exactly. Just make it a fun summer. And, and if you're going to be the optimist in the situation, you could say they've decided to go the opposite way of what Major League Baseball has done. And that's been live or die by the home run, right? Mm-hmm. The last couple of years, it's been home run or strikeout, home run or strikeout. Don't worry about moving runners over. Don't worry about stealing bases. And Tito and this team said, fuck that. We're going to manufacture runs. And they're doing it really well to this point. And at this point, the starting pitching is absolutely blown. I mean, Bieber's velocity is way down. His spin rate's way down. His command is a mess. He got rocked in his last outing. Plesac has been garbage. Savali has been rocked a couple times. Tristan McKenzie now is on a streak. Go buy the shirt, by the way.
Yeah, Kid Genius.
Kid Genius, go check it out. It's in our all our link trees and all of the social media.
Are they in the link trees?
Yes. Okay, merch, okay. Right on top. Yes.
Okay, perfect.
First thing in the merch. Kid Genius, Tristan McKenzie shirt. He can solve a Rubik's Cube in under 2 minutes. It's fucking insane. But he's really been the only guy who's been now consistent after having a rocky start to the season. The last couple starts have been good. If you want to be an optimist here, you could say that starting pitching even gets anywhere near where everybody thought it was going to be. This could be a super fun summer for
us. Yeah, it could turn out really good, especially, like, if we can just keep the bats. Like, it's just so, like, I just don't understand how is an entire team, the bats go cold. Like, how is that even a possibility?
It just, I don't know. They've always had that trouble, like, going back to last year. I don't know why.
It's, well, it, when you, they were having the type of offense that everybody else was, where they were feast or famine. It was home run, it was strikeout.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the last couple of years, they've been super heavily towards the strikeouts. This year, it's been feast or famine, and I hate to say it because I don't want to sound negative because I've been positive vibes only, but it has kind of seemed when they face good pitching, they have a lot harder time hitting. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just get exposed.
Yeah, they got a lot of young guys, you know what I mean? And you throw a guy out there who really knows how to pitch through a game and has some nasty stuff, and he's on that night, and we've seen him struggle, but you know, it was Vlad Guerrero Jr. Kwan got a hit, got to first base, and he was like, hey man, you can really hit. That's got to be a cool moment for that dude.
Oh, absolutely. You're a rookie, you know what I mean? Like, but that's like what Brian was talking about last, I think it was last episode or two with Kwan, where he's like, he's still a rookie. We don't know what we have with him. That's what I'm saying is like getting exposed.
Yeah.
It's like we're seeing like the 6-for-6 start and everything with Kwan was awesome. But now as we're starting to get into the season and the tendencies and just like the fads are getting more, I don't know, like just larger sample size.
Yeah. Pitchers are coming out and playing and pitching him differently because they, you know,
well, no, there's tape on the guy. Now, exactly. Yeah. You didn't know. Nobody knows how to pitch Stephen Kwan at the beginning of the year because nobody knew who the fuck Stephen Kwan was. Right?
That's
like,
true.
No major league pitchers, unless you played against him in the minors, which you would have had to play in the last 2 years because he's super young.
Mm-hmm.
You never pitched against the guy. You probably don't know anything about him. Now you got a little bit of tape. You're able to pitch a little bit differently. So we'll see. This is definitely going to evolve. But last night was a positive sign because as bad as the White Sox pitching has been, they've played the Guardians already, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they've already had a series against them and they said the Guardians fucking lit them up last night. Yeah. It took them a while to get there.
But chumps either.
No, they should be the best team. I just pulled up the standings. The Twins are 3 games up in the standings, and nobody thought the Twins were going to be sitting anywhere near the top this year. White Sox are in second. Everybody had it before the year. I believe it was White Sox, Tigers, Twins, Guardians, Royals, if I remember correctly.
And yeah, the Twins always
themselves like that.
Yeah, the Twins always go on an early season run, though. I feel like they always get out to a fast start and then punch themselves out by the end of the season.
And they're every year like, oh, they're the young team to watch, team to watch, and they're never at the end of the year. They're just never there. But I mean, the Guardians, 3 games back, they're 15-14, over 500. They do have the scent of a floating around 500 club. You know what I mean?
The Guardians,
they just do, unfortunately. Yeah,
that's a good summer then, if they're 500, for sure.
Fuck yeah, I'll take around 500. That keeps you in the playoff race.
Yeah.
I mean, right now,
it's like 80 wins.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees are tearing it up. They're 20-8. I mean, they're really, really good. The Rays are really good, 18-12. Blue Jays have been playing really well, 17-13. But Guardians just had played a great series against them. Right, didn't they take 3 out of 4 against them? I believe they did.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It was a 4-game series? Was it two or three?
Guardians schedule. Here we go, just looking shit up again. This is like my favorite thing to do on the podcast.
We should just go to commercial.
We should just throw it to commercial. Yeah, they took 3 out of 4 from. All right, yeah, I was right. Just fucking trust yourself.
See, just say it. If you say it confidently, everyone's going to believe it anyway.
Exactly. They're never going to go check.
Yeah,
the
no.
What am I doing?
Yeah.
people are using you as a source. You got to remember that.
That's like, very true. Okay,
they're taking it with them.
Angels playing really well. They're 20-11. Astros are playing really well, 18-11. Other than that, everybody's floating about where the Guardians are if they're the quote unquote in contention at this point. Orioles have been really bad, even though they're five games under. Red Sox are terrible. We already went over the Central. And then in the West, Seattle, Texas, Oakland. I mean, Oakland could always – they're always a dangerous team that could make a run at some point, but they feel like they're going to go in the tank with how all the bad PR is around the team. I mean, there's realistically –
no one goes to the games.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, would you want to play hard if nobody was at the games?
No. It's got to feel like a high school game to those guys. Like, to some of those guys, like, that's got to be the smallest crowd they've been playing like in front of since like high school, literally.
Especially
like,
if you played college baseball in the South.
Yeah, exactly. Like D1, yeah. Or like you're playing the College World Series, yeah.
I mean, we shouldn't talk too much shit because we might be having the same conversation here in Cleveland. And
yeah, you know, no, because for sure.
All of us right now are going, hey, school's not out, weather didn't break.
Yeah.
You're on the road for a little while. Like, yeah, the crowds will get there. We don't think they'll sell out a bunch, but, you know, the crowds will be there. I mean, there's a very realistic situation where we're looking at maybe not A's bad, but like,
pretty close.
Bottom three attendance, I mean, in the majors.
Yeah, it's going to be probably rough next couple of weeks, I'd say, like middle of the week games.
Yeah.
It's a typical Friday night, Saturday night, like night at the
ballpark. Yeah, dollar dog night's always busy, Sunday the fireworks, yeah. Everything, yeah.
So that Naylor video, let's get to that.
Yeah.
So there's actually two videos. The one where he's just screaming around the bases is awesome already, yeah. Right? You can't tell what he's saying, though, because the camera's so far away. Then the video that went viral last night went viral from an account called Fanatics One. But Fanatics One actually took that video from Andre Knott. And what happened was Andre will take – he's a sideline reporter for the Guardians. Yeah. Shout out to Dre. Well, it's my brother. And he's on the sidelines, and he'll take videos of the guys as they're rounding third or coming to the dugout, depending on where they're at, and put them on social media afterwards. Now, he doesn't post everything to social media because some things are for the boys, right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
And last night, if you actually go through his timeline – he put out there, man, I'd love to put out this video in celebration, but that something's got to stay for the guys. And then the next one, he's like, should I put this video out there? Obviously, the next spot is where he put that video out, and Naylor goes absolutely ballistic.
Mm-hmm.
Feed me. I want all the smoke. Throws, whips his helmet at the wall. He's freaking out.
That was
the
firing me up.
Best part is Class A. Somebody tweeted it at me, but I kept watching it laugh. Class A jumps out of the way like it's a raging bull coming into the
building. Literally, it was.
Yeah. I mean, I think even Hammy said like a bull going into a China shop.
And like
the
Tito's like in the background of like a screenshot. He's just like smiling.
Yeah. You cannot be happy for the kid, right? After what he went through, that gruesome ass injury last year, coming back and doing this. So he paces all the way down to the dugout, starts coming back, right? And everybody's like laughing and high-fiving him. So Dre puts the video out. I wake up this morning. I didn't see the video until this morning until I saw you and Nick talking shit in the group text. Social media going semi-wild because it was overnight. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, things don't really start catching until about 8, 9 in the morning. And I'm like, oh, shit. Well, I look at my text, and I have some texts from Andre Knott. And then he's like, hey, man, I took that video down. Can you see if Barstool might be willing to take that video down because Josh doesn't really want it out there? By the time I saw this text, he texted me like 2 a.m. and I hope he wouldn't be mad about me saying this because I actually think it's a really cool story for Josh. And I texted him, I'm like, yo, I'll see. But then I saw it was from a different account, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, obviously it doesn't get taken down because why would anybody take it down when it wasn't even from Andre's account? It got recorded off his account and put on someone else's.
Yeah, right? And at that point, like by the time you saw it, it's on every baseball Twitter account ever.
The Guardians had tweeted it by then.
Yeah,
literally,
exactly.
The Guardians had tweeted it by then. Yeah. So by that time, it's out of control. So I'm talking with him and he was like, yeah, you know, the guys on the bus were all hyped up over it. And we're like, hell yeah, like blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he said that Naylor, like, talked to his mom or something. She was like, hey, you got to chill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's, like, still trying to find, you know, this is an emotional – he's emotional because this is emotional, right? To come back from the injury that he's coming back from, overcoming the odds that he's overcoming right now, and then just be ripping it up at the beginning of this season. And he always has played with emotion. He's always played with a little bit of a temper. And, you know, I just told Anja, I was like, bro, honestly – you know, besides the fact that tonight LaRusse is probably going to have them throw at him. I mean, that's how LaRusse is. He's a fucking old school drunk baseball guy. but you know, other than that, I didn't see a single person that said a single bad thing about that video. Everybody loved it.
No, I think it makes him look really good. Like that's the type of dude you want in your locker room. Yeah. That number one is performing just awesome, grand slam, whatever. And wait, did you say the records on the pod or no? The two that he broke with the post 9 inning.
Yeah, we said him a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Like, that's a dude you want in your locker room that's, like, number one performer like that, but then getting hyped. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because we talked about a little bit different with the Browns or whatever, but, like, those dudes that are just, like, at this point, it's just a paycheck to them. And I'm sure there's a ton of dudes like that in the MLB, but, like, you see someone like Naylor that reacts that way, and you know, like, he's playing for the love of the game. And, like, you're saying, like, this is all comeback, like, proving it to himself almost.
Yeah.
Like, I'm back.
Yeah, that's just, like, playing with passion, and he's just, like, showing it, you know, that reaction was just, like, crazy.
Oh, it's pure.
Yeah.
Right? It was pure. I mean, and if this team is going to be any good, they have to have some of that flair. This is not a team like, this isn't the Padres who every single night can go out and out-talent the team on the other, the team on the field. Yeah. This is not a team like the Yankees who are just straight sluggers and like, you don't have to be hyped over home runs because you hit so freaking many of them. You know what I mean? This is a team that's going to survive on Jose Ramirez making a diving stab at third in a wild throw all the way over to Naylor to save the game.
It would have been over if that didn't happen.
Exactly. So, I mean, that stretched by Naylor, he was hyped on that too, I'm sure. You know, I mean, he just had a monster fucking game. I mean, this is the type of team, we tweeted out the highlight a couple nights ago where Jose legs out a triple. Every other player in the MLB that isn't a leadoff hitter is stopping at second base on that
stand
triple.
Up double,
Yeah, exactly. And he went in, he barely got there, but somehow he always barely gets there. You know what I mean?
That's he times it up perfectly. Yeah, he wants to make it close. Because that's like you're saying, this is a team that needs, like you're saying, the moment. Like the moment is what's going to drive us more than you're saying, like just like, we don't have the talent to just go out there and just beat people. Like, we got to have something going our way.
Everyone else going.
Yeah.
If someone was in a slump, though, that just boosts them up, gets them going. Like, oh, yeah, I can do that, too, or something.
Need some angels in the outfield shit.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, you know what I mean? Maybe it's Michael Stanley. That's what's happening. Michael Stanley's helping the Guardians right now.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we'll take it.
His chosen player just happens to be, it started with Kwan, he switched over to Naylor.
Yeah.
Michael Stanley will reach out and touch each forehead throughout the
team. We need him to touch Bieber.
Yeah, we do need him to touch Bieber. And not inappropriately, either.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a slump buster. Yeah. I don't fucking know. He's been
set him straight.
Sticky stuff. You think he's a victim of the sticky stuff going away? I don't buy that.
No spider tack.
He was still good after that last year. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But it seems like a lot of, not that everyone's velocity is down, but it seems like over, I mean, obviously across the whole league, but more than I thought, it's having a way bigger impact.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that there was that much going around that like it was.
Batting averages are down too, actually.
Yeah.
So it's kind of odd. It just feels like maybe shortened spring training because of COVID and because of lockout. You know, maybe those things are affecting teams too. So I don't know. I guess we'll see. But yeah, shout out to Josh Naylor, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's badass.
The video is when he screamed, fuck, and then he like pump faked the helmet.
Yeah.
And then went down a little bit and then chucked it.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
I went back and watched it and just kept looking at different people's reactions. Yeah. And they were hilarious. It's like, yeah, we should have done a little recap video. Maybe we still off.
Like, that was like, what we were talking about last time, like the pita chick running on the court or what was the other video we were talking about? We can't look it up, but I'm like, you got to watch every single person in the video.
Oh, it was the Philly scumbag throwing the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great, too. People did not want to trade him. We tried to trade for him on the draft, and they wouldn't let us. We tried to trade Chops' Tuesday Spaces. Philly guys did not want to give up the phone guy. Yeah.
They won that lack of trade there. Yeah. We're stuck with Chops now. We got to get him off the roster.
7,000 calories a day. Do you guys watch Building the Browns?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I thought it was hilarious is the really big show. Somebody was tweeting, they're like, literally they all just admitted, like, I don't watch it. I don't watch it. Single person on the show watches it. I've watched, like, I watch clips on social media. I'll admit I do not watch full episodes just because it just doesn't hold my attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I always do read the articles that are put out afterwards. And I don't know, the last couple episodes, they haven't been that interesting, except for the Deshaun Watson clips.
Where he shows up at the very end. Yeah, they always put a little snippet of him in at the end.
Yeah, they know it draws the eyeballs, right? But Nick Harris, offensive lineman for the Browns.
Starting.
They signed the other kid. I can't remember his last name. I want to say Peroni, but that's not it. That's like a water, I think. Whatever. There's another kid who's going to be.
Can't look it up.
Yeah, but Nick Perrion Harris.
Winfrey?
I think it was Perrion Winfrey. No,
he's defense.
Nick Harris put on 20 pounds of muscle. And how he did so was he was eating 7,000 calories per meal.
Per meal? There's no way.
No, I'm sorry, per day. Excuse
me. Oh, my God.
They didn't say what he was eating, I don't think, because I haven't seen that anywhere. But 7,000 calories per day. So the normal recommended diet. Hold on.
The nutrition facts based off a 2,000 calorie diet on every box.
Right. I think it's pretty. Yeah, it's like 2,000 is the normal.
Yeah. Oh, the first article that came up was, boy, 16, who ate 7,000 calories a day, loses
go down to
10
the
stone with gastric bypass.
That's a dude.
Yeah, I guess so. He was morbidly obese. That's not Nick Harris. Yeah, so Nick Harris is eating 7,000 calories a day. Do you remember? Do you guys remember when Michael Phelps came out and said he was eating 10,000 calories
yeah.
a day?
Yeah.
Wow. And that dude was trim as fuck. Mm-hmm. He swims all day.
All
long.
Day, yeah.
His breakfast was like a rotisserie chicken and 8 eggs or something.
Stupid.
Like some fucking insane. So, but I guess as an offensive lineman, it makes sense because you see all these guys like they all like they either get super fat after their career. Or they deflate like a Joe Thomas.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Thomas doesn't even look like he could play line in the NFL anymore.
Yeah, and on that Rebuilded show, I posted the one clip on the socials, mm-hmm. but he talks about that, is how much of a surplus his diet was at, and then as soon as he got out of the NFL, like, literally, like, obviously he worked out and everything, but weight just started falling off yeah. him.
That was, shout out to Eddie, who's on that? It's Eddie and, I can't think of the other guy's name, but Eddie out in Chicago. That's actually
yeah,
really
it's like
cool.
that trainer, like, life coach guy. Yeah. I forget his name.
So go check that out as well. But yeah, so... 7,000 calories a meal. I am at the point right now where I'm trying to eat like 22 calories clean a day, right? Mm-hmm. Like I got trying to get that down. Weekends, that shit gets blown out of the water. I know that's my issue, right? I'm assuming Nick Harris isn't getting fucking trashed on the weekends.
Yeah, no, probably not.
Sunday.
Yeah, did, see him in the club.
Yeah, club report, not there?
Nah.
Is that no, there, we right? did see Newsom though this yeah, on
yeah.
Friday though.
We did Dante's. See Newsom out there, yeah. He looked good. Look fit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of bodied him up when he was walking past me. I think I might try out for the team, dude.
Okay. So how many? What's the your diet is insane. Like for people who don't know, Joe, you're 21.
Yes.
You're fit. You work out all. How many days a week do you work out?
I'm not really working out right now. I'm just kind of golfing. Pretty much that's what I'm doing for my workout, I guess. Okay. And then I walk up that big ass hill on the way here.
Yes.
That's my leg day.
That is it. That is a big hill.
I ran. The Flats Hill today. That was my workout.
Oh, okay.
Like down for the bridge or whatever.
That's a tough hill.
Oh man, yeah, I was passed out. It was bad.
Do you ever do the bridge?
No.
You ever run the bridge? When I lived over by Westside Market, I used to run the bridge through Progressive Field and Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Around the corner and back over the bridge, and it was basically like 3 miles total. It was a tough. And then you're like, oh. That bridge doesn't seem that long. It's really fucking long. And then it doesn't seem that steep. It is the steepest thing on earth when you're on the back end of a 3 mile run, you're hoofing it and you hit that and you're like, there's like homeless people.
Your hamstrings are just barking.
Yeah, there's homeless people. You're like jumping over fucking bums and shit all the way over. Dude, it sucks. But all right. So you're not working out right now, but you're golfing. Tell the people a little bit about your diet. What do you eat? What is like the thing you eat most?
Well, every morning I eat 6 scrambled eggs. That's like just a staple for me. So I know I'm getting like nutrients in my body, like good nutrients, not cereal. I'm not really a big cereal guy. But then that keeps me full for a couple hours. And then I don't know. I just kind of eat whatever.
You love said you're pizza. A big fast food guy though.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm a huge fast food guy. I love Burger King, Cane's, all of them. Like I love it all except for, Culver's sucks. And
what's your typical, so Monday through Friday, like lunch, like, are you hitting like Burger King multiple times a week or do you plan on?
It really depends on my schedule if I'm even eating lunch. Like I'll eat lunch around like 4 p.m. usually.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah. Because I'll wake up and I won't eat until like 11:30.
But if you're, so is there just multiple days where you're eating 2 fast food meals a day?
Yeah, 2 to 3, yeah.
So that's, I mean, you got to be putting in your body. Each fast food meal has got to be 1,000 calories. Right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm close to the 7,000. Honestly, now that I think about it. Because, like, the eggs is that, like, I eat that and I know it's super healthy. Like, it's the healthiest thing I'm going to eat. So then it's like, check. Everything else, all bets are off. Fucking Burger King's, milkshakes, anything.
Dude, I'd give anything for that metabolism again. When I was younger, I was skinny as fuck. And, like, you know, most people, like my friends who are like my age and stuff, like they're putting on some weight and like, oh man, look at you, eat a hamburger. And I'm like, dude, if you knew how much I try to watch right during the week and then run all the fucking time, riding the bike at the end of workouts, like just to stay not fat. Like I'm not even like, I'm embarrassed if I take my shirt off. Like that's, and I'm still working that hard. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you got to switch up your routine.
I fucking love bread. I love
No, I'm
I
saying in the
carbs.
Gym.
Oh, yeah. I do need to switch up my routine in the gym, but I just...
You got to start working out angry.
Shit, different protein shakes or something.
Like I don't know what I need, dude.
Yo, I need help with this.
I don't know what it is, man.
Just work out in a hoodie and sweats every day.
That sounds miserable.
With a garbage bag under it. That's how you cut.
Yeah, I know that's how you cut. I do not want anything to do with it. Here's the thing. My theory for a really long time was I work out just so I can drink and eat pizza when I want to. Mm-hmm. And that's really, it's worked out pretty well for me. I've never really been fat.
I mean, yeah, you're pro at both of those things.
Exactly. I fluctuate about 8 pounds up and down. Like when I decide I'm not going to work out as hard and I'm eating a lot of pizza and drinking a lot. And then when I decide I'm not going to do that so much and I work out more, I go down about 8 pounds. But like, I decided like this year, because we have some events coming up at Forward and we're gonna do something, I want to be able to take my shirt off and like, I'm not going to be cut the fuck up, but I just don't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I just can't fucking get there. Like, see, this guy's eating 7,000 goddamn calories a day.
Yeah. That's the difference with me is I got to put on weight. Like, you know what I mean? Like yeah. I fluctuate, you fluctuate 8 pounds throughout the year. Like I'm 25 or 30 pounds lighter than I was when I graduated high school.
Holy shit.
Wow. Yeah. I fluctuate like crazy, but I haven't like, but I was lifting. I went really hard in the gym when I was in high school. And then now that I'm not playing like baseball or anything like that seriously anymore. Obviously, I'm not fucking working out as hard.
So, Clock, you're 25, 26, 26. This is interesting to me because you're hitting that age now. We've had this conversation.
I've noticed.
Yeah, where, like, all of a sudden, like, you're like, oh, man, I can get back in shape real fast. And you're like, this is taking me a little bit fucking longer than I anticipated. Like, is that where you're at right now?
Yeah, it's more so you've got to watch what you eat.
Yeah, I suck at that.
Stay away from beers like you have.
That's right. Hasn't helped watch, a lot.
I mean, I went on, like, a low-carb diet with my dude Mario last year at this time, and it really helped. But since then, I've kind of faded from it. But, like, just watching what you eat, stay on the protein and, like, cardio. Like, I lift a lot, and I notice, like, you got to do, like, cardio with it.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm more of a runner than I am a lifter anyway.
Yeah. Cardio, bike, any of that shit. Just, yeah.
I was thinking, like, oh, maybe I'll do, like, a keto thing. You can't eat fruit on keto.
Keto's
I fucking love fruit.
What I almost went on. It was a low carb, but it wasn't keto exactly. My one dude actually went on keto. Keto's like, it's too intense. Like, yeah. I wouldn't do that. It like, because once you get off keto, you have to be on keto. If you get off keto, it just like knocks everything down what you did for like whatever, 6 months, 8 months,
yeah.
whatever you
want. And I'm going to eat pizza. You're not going to stop me from eating pizza.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think I'll ever be able to diet yeah. like ever because yeah. I just. Well, enjoy eating too much.
Yeah, inherently, diets are made to end and you gain weight back, right? Like, so as long as you
yeah,
like,
they're made to fail. Diets are made to fail because yeah. you never stick to them forever unless you're like a vegetarian.
So you have to like form habits.
That's a trap.
And my habits have become like eat well during the week, treat my body like a disgusting dumpster on the weekends, like, and then yeah, try to recover the entire week afterwards.
If you're eating healthy throughout the week and lifting 5 days a week, then yeah, the weekend probably really doesn't matter that much. Oh, right,
doesn't
like a Friday night. Yeah, but I'm saying like for what you're saying, Will, like you're not yeah. trying to be cut up, but if you're yeah. just trying to maintain within a certain window, like
yeah, if I was just like yeah, I don't give a fuck about taking my shirt off and like whatever, then like
dude, just be the shirt guy in the pool.
I can never be the shirt guy. I'm not doing that.
The white Hanes shirt.
I wish Brian was here because I feel like Brian's a shirt guy in the pool.
Yeah, like he wears it in the pool and blames like he doesn't want to get sunburned. Yeah. Like that's like that's
this is what, my sunscreen shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Those like Columbia long sleeves. Yeah.
With the big hat.
Yeah, the huge bucket hat.
He's not that pale, but I feel like he's a guy who doesn't take a shirt off in the pool either. Which is always hilarious.
Or he is the guy. He's the first guy off. With his shirt off doing yeah. cannonballs.
Well, you got to do one way or the other. If you're that big, you and not that he's like obese or anything, but he's just a big dude. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah, just get it. Just address the situation.
You gotta be all forward and happy about it. Like the big dude is like, they're just like right away doing it. Like they're just happy.
I got to be honest. I'd rather be. And I saw Big Cat tweeting about this. Like it was 88 degrees in Chicago. They're talking about fat guys having to switch out of hoodies and the t-shirts. And I'd rather be, and this is a crazy statement. I'd rather be a legit big husky man than a skinny fat dude. Because skinny fat guys have the... You look terrible when you take your shirt off. Like a husky dude, you take it off, he's like, oh, that's just a big dude.
Yeah.
That's you facts, know what I mean? Like,
because you know what you're getting. You see a dude with like a shirt on.
Yeah. And if you're a skinny fat big. Guy, the second they take a shirt, they're like, wow, that guy's let himself go.
Yeah.
Look like a fucking Ethiopian in one of those commercials. Like fucking belly sticking all flies yeah. landing on your face.
Yeah,
like,
just all deformed.
Yeah.
So would you rather immediately if I could just put 20 pounds on you and you just got to be like... You think that would make you husky enough, 20 pounds?
No, I'd need more than that.
30, 40?
Yeah, I'd probably need 30 or 40 to get like husky.
All right, so 40. Husky,
completely comfortably husky, yeah.
40 immediately, and then you're just a husky guy at the pool all summer? Or do you want to keep working out every single day?
I'd like to keep my fiance, so I will definitely, I'll choose.
Jenna's gone with 40 pounds.
100%. She might not be gone, but she's going to be, I should be like living with a drill sergeant. Like, yeah, She's really not on me about like weight and working out and stuff like that. Like we both work out a lot.
But 40 pounds she would be.
40 pounds, yeah. 40 pounds. Oh, shit. 14 pounds she might be. She might be up my ass at 14 pounds. I don't carry it well. Gerard Sherry one time told me, and they used to make fun of me about this, so I told him, like, I said, what size shirt do you wear? And I said, medium. And they all laughed at me. Like, how are you 6 feet tall and you wear a medium shirt? And he's like, look at dog. Look how little his torso is. And they all pointed and laughed at me. They pointed and laughed at me because I had a short torso. And ever since then, I looked at me, I'm like, I do have a short fucking torso. This sucks.
Start wearing longer shirts.
Yeah. Well, the shirts, because mediums fit lengthwise. But then that sucks because, like, as soon as I put any belly on, my shirts are touching my belly.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? I don't have a lot of room for error in medium sized shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Fucking sucks. Anyway, whatever.
Put on 40 pounds.
Put on 40. Maybe I'm just going straight husky this summer.
Yeah.
Sorry, babe. I got to do it. Drama. You guys ready to talk about the drama? Let's run it down. So for those who, I'm pretty sure most people watch this probably do know, they probably stay up to date on Barstool drama. If you don't, you probably saw Tom Brady fucking tweeting about it anyway.
Yeah.
So Hank, who is the producer of PMT and is also the vice president of content, I believe is what he is.
Yeah, he's something suit Hank now.
He's a suit now at Barstool. He was dating Rhea for 4 years, Rhea from Chicks in the Office. And they lived together. They broke up like less than a year ago now.
Yeah, it was like 10 months ago.
And it just came to light a couple days ago that Marty Mush, who's also on content at Barstool, you may not be as familiar with him. If you're into the gambling stuff, you probably
are. Yeah, gambling personality. Marty.
College basketball. Like
He's on Bench Mob. Yeah. Marty, Jerry, Terry, I think is his other podcast.
Was on Marty, Jerry, Terry.
Yeah. I didn't watch that yet, but.
So they found out that Rhea and Marty Mush are now dating, right? You may say to yourself, like, oh, who gives a shit? Like, whatever, they work together, they're dating. Yeah, well, there's a couple things at play here, right? One was that Rhea and Hank decided that they weren't going to date any coworkers when they broke up.
Yeah.
Seems to have been broken, like, almost immediately.
Yeah.
And then, two, Hank is, like, your boss. And then, three, the big bosses of the company, both Dave and Dan, Big Cat, are, like, best friends with Hank. Like, that's like their fucking boy.
They pick on Hank's the OG. Time. Hank is the OG.
He is the OG.
Dave's original guy, and then became producer of Part of My Take, which became the biggest podcast. So they're definitely gonna like Dave. A lot of people forget originally Dave hated Marty Mush when he was first hired. Like he always thought like his voice and everything was just like a shtick, and he hated him for it and thought it was so stupid.
And they all thought he was a fake gambler. Even just like Dave said, he even told him that. Like, coming across like a fake gambler.
Yeah, exactly. He thought he was just like a complete, like, just shtick guy, nothing real about him. And then he started to win Dave over, and then this happens. And it was funny seeing Dave say that, like, Marty knew this was like career suicide doing this move. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, because Hank's tweet said that him and Rhea, like, Rhea told him about her and Marty, which they're all going on the Dave Portnoy show, which is on at 8 tonight, which I'm hyped to watch. But apparently, Rhea said something to Hank about it, but then Marty never did. And then that's what Hank's whole issue is.
Yeah. Which makes sense. Like, he said, I'll talk to Marty, and then Marty never reached out. Marty kept saying, I didn't think I needed to. He said he didn't have a problem with me. Then there's other things that came up, like Dan doesn't believe that they only have been dating for as long as they said they have, because there's a bunch of things that point to them,
Did you guys see that? It's like the Reddit dude. He like has like,
oh yeah,
the
yeah,
guy
yeah.
that doesn't work for Barstool but does.
Deke Zucker.
Yeah.
He said it.
Yep.
He was coming at Next for like.
He's got the burner accounts
throughout the whole Barstool community.
Yeah. Like, so he said if we get Team Hank trending, I'll release the Reddit burner accounts for the company. And believe me, there's going to be people coming to work with baseball bats tomorrow.
He said KFC.
And Kevin Clancy, KFC, is like on the warpath to get these damn burners. He wants them bad. He wants them. I know, who knows if this is even real. I feel like it's a weird flex to throw out there if it's fake.
Right? Well, yeah. Did you watch the Kevin Clancy show about this yesterday? Yeah. And KFC was saying, he's like, or no, somebody called in and was like, because when the Stooley Clubhouse account, follow that account on Twitter, before that surfaced, like Deke Zucker, when old Barstool Radio days, like he would tweet out all the quotes because he was just listening to it all the time. So people were saying, is this just like Deke Zucker's main chapter with Barstool is kind of past? So is he just bringing these, saying he has 10 burner accounts and all this, just so he can be like pushed back up and a part of the universe again?
Yeah, because Stooley Clubhouse basically did what he did, but with videos, and then got hired.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And Deke Zucker hasn't been hired.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't even think he necessarily wants to work for Barstool. I think he just does it for the love of the game. But I feel like he's just trying to increase his role almost maybe to get a job. But I do believe there's burners.
Oh, there's definitely burners. Yeah, easy. Exactly. I mean, what was our very first podcast where you?
Yeah, I'm the number one burner guy. I'm probably one of them.
We talked about having to make Reddit burners so we could push things.
Yeah,
we may have already.
Yeah, maybe we have. You don't fucking know.
Idea. Yeah, I mean, we said that, and then a month later, they're talking about burners at Barstool. So yeah. I don't know. We might have to watch our backs.
What is more interesting to you between these two things? Like, start with you, Clock. Is it the quote unquote love life drama and the fact that Marty Mush, Hank now, because Tom Brady tweeted out that he was Team Hank
and they went berserk.
And he was just like, I don't. He's like, he goes, I don't even care anymore. I can really give a shit less. I'm happy about everything now. Yeah. But Dan is still like, fuck Marty Mush, made him move his desk. Yeah. I don't fuck with him on content anymore. Like, basically, if Dan and Dave don't fuck with you on content, I mean, good luck keeping a career.
Especially when all you do is gambling. Yeah. Like, if they're not going to be in any of the gambling content with them, that's the main stuff. Like, they're at everything that's big. So if Marty's just not there, he's just going to...
It seems like he's shocked that everyone's against him and everything.
It was career suicide.
Really that shady and was that scummy.
Is it a scumbag move in your mind?
If everything's true, then, I mean, yeah, I think it should. I'm on Team Hank.
Yeah, I think it's a scumbag move too. I do get what he's saying. Hey, we work together. There's nines and a big group of people. But like the fact that they keep like saying that they've been broken up longer than they have been, and they keep saying they've been together shorter than everybody thinks they've actually been, makes it feel real scummy.
Yeah, and there was like a pic too. I forget who tweeted.
Yeah, that was what leaked it. That picture of Rhea and Marty Mush leaked on the Reddit. Yeah, on the Chicks in the Office Reddit. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily a scumbag move by Marty Mush. It's more of just like a guy code thing. Like,
yeah.
But then again, like KFC was saying yesterday, like Hank and Marty don't really work closely at all. Like they're just kind of coworkers. They're not in the same production or a part of any of the same shows.
So,
like,
are they close?
Yeah.
They're not friends.
Yeah. I'm not justifying not really Marty.
See, I mean,
but
I don't know how that is then. I mean, does he feel like he has to reach out to him and be like, hey, like,
I don't know. Either way, but
they're talking now. Like,
yeah,
like,
I'm a
cool type thing, you know, that. Like street code.
I'm just not fucking with like honestly, like I'm not fucking with anybody. If I mean, I'm just smarter than that, but I'm not gonna go fuck with anybody's ex that I work with.
Yeah, because that's the scum. That's the only scummy, like the Marty Mush factor. Like that's just so something he would do right up his alley.
Yeah.
But I'll admit, like I think Rhea's pretty funny. Like I'm a pretty big fan
so
of hers.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think so too.
And yeah, she started Barcelona when she was like 19, super young. Got hired full time. And so I've kind of like, you know what I mean? Like we've seen her like grow up in the Barstool universe. And immediately when all this dropped, she was just like, yeah, I don't really care. I'm just going to do whatever makes me happy. I talked to Hank about it. And then, you know what I mean? Like she honestly, like, I don't really think people are shitting on her too much.
No, I haven't seen that.
But I think she handled that perfectly when she's like, yeah, I don't really care. Yeah. Like, this is what I'm doing. I told Hank. And everyone's like, all right, yeah, it's good enough for me. Like,
I totally agree with the fact that whether or not you think it's a scumbag move or not, I mean, Marty's like laid it all on the table. Like, he literally has to marry that girl now, right? Like, this is just like,
marry or bust.
You know, people are like, oh, it's shtick. If you know Dave, that's not shtick.
Yeah,
like,
no.
First edit, and he just like swiped like Marty out of the picture. And he went pretty hard at him. Dan, you don't ever hear Dan take that hard of a stance on almost anything. And he was just basically like, it's scumbag move. I don't fuck with him. I made him move his desk. I don't want to be a part of any contact. I won't be mad at anybody else who is, but like, how do you really build at a company that's built around really two guys in particular and neither of them fuck with you?
Yeah. And it's like all the people involved, like Marty, Rhea, and Hank are all huge people at the company. You know, like this isn't happening with like a producer and, like, you know what I mean? Like an editor or something like this. This is like three huge shows, pretty much. Three huge like chapters of Barstool that are all colliding like in a weird mixture.
What's
the
girl who's with Brianna out on tour? Hilarious. The girl's
Grace O'Malley.
Yeah, so it's not like Youngstown Bob and Grace. Like,
No.
Like, it's not like that. It's a much, much bigger thing.
Yeah, it's literally part of my take, Chicks in the Office, and then gambling. Like, literally 90 of what Barstool is all about, just, like, colliding. It's pretty crazy.
And if you are out there and you want to know, like, how involved are those guys really in day-to-day activities, Dave hired me. And when Dan got back off of vacation, immediately sent me a message and was like, hey, Herbie hired you. That's all. It's not like they're like hands off. They are very much involved.
Big community.
Yeah. So, all right. So burners, should we make burners and go fuck with people?
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
We should make a couple.
May not have one.
Do you?
I don't have any burner. I've never had a burner.
you got to get one. It's so much more fun than normal social media.
So I've been like trained not to be a dickhead on social media because I've been in it for so long and like kind of in like a public spotlight. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's nowhere near as big as what these people are, but I have been in a public spotlight for a long time. I think I'd have a blast with just like
so I'm saying,
fucking with people.
You create an alter ego. It's like you become somebody else. It's like right. When Batman puts his suit on or Superman puts his suit on, you know, you're just different. You're just in a different mode.
You have burners?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe.
Let's say hypothetically, if you had a burner, who's like the, is there anybody in like media, music, whoever like you do or would want to fuck with?
Off the top of my head, no. I would have to take a deep check at it.
Daryl Ryder?
Maybe.
Fuck with Daryl Ryder?
Yeah, we should. I don't know, but I just kind of use like the
media.
I use like our Twitter account as like a burner almost now.
I do too. I actually say things that I would never say on my
account. With your face, yeah. Just with a faceless account. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You just put it out there and like, who cares? Like, you know, we could, like when people try to hold us accountable for the Ben Roethlisberger, Deshaun Watson thing, like, who are you holding accountable?
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Literally a logo.
Yeah, you know it's, I mean? It's a ghost. It's
yeah,
no one.
Like, oh, look at you flip flopping. It's like there's multiple people
yeah,
on this
exactly.
account and none of us give a fuck about
yeah.
your opinion.
And
there, so.
Takes are disposable anyway. So I'll
exactly.
just tweet whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. But I bring up Daryl Ryder because Deshaun Watson blocked Daryl Ryder was last night, I believe.
Yep.
And then Daryl said the quote-unquote the adult in the room that the Browns brought in. Now, I'm going to preface this whole conversation with the fact that I worked with Daryl for a long time. I like Daryl as a person. But Daryl has a tendency to rub athletes the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And not just because he's too harsh on them or too opinionated or gives it real. It's because Daryl is an awkward, he's a different guy. He's not like, you know, Daryl doesn't break a ton of stories because Daryl isn't like friends or people don't confide in Daryl.
Yeah, he's not just in with anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Like Daryl's a hard fucking worker. Daryl work his ass off for you. Daryl stays updated on every single thing. He'll write blogs for you. He'll hit every single show. He put an ISD line in his house, You know what I mean? This dude works his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
And he deserves where he's at, for sure. He's doing the podcast now with Andy Baskin. I don't know what the name of it. Don't go download it. Stay with us. Or actually, you can go download it. Just make sure you listen to us, too. You know what I mean? So he deserves his spot. But it's like that thing there, the adult in the room afterwards. Like, if I'm Deshaun Watson, I am blocking Daryl Ryder.
Yeah, I don't really know him that well. I know him mostly from his tweets. And yeah, he does kind of bitch a little bit with stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's like, here's the thing. Like, we, our accounts, even though we did flip-flop like a little bit, like when you see a joke, you just tweet it out. But we've been pro, like our accounts have been very pro Deshaun Watson. Like, I've made sure that's just been our image.
Yeah, all pro.
And it's just funny seeing like McNeil's blocked by him, Daryl Ryder's blocked by him. And it's like, those were the dudes that were harping on like the allegation stuff and like making those type of jokes. And I don't know about Ryder making jokes about it, but
he was fixated on it.
That now it's like, you know, as Deshaun's starting to like, okay, he's here and his presence starting to be made with like all the videos of him throwing and you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. he's kind of just like seeing a new Deshaun Watson clip is not like news anymore. It's just like every day something's coming out. So his presence is building and he's just like shutting those guys out. So they're just butthurt. But it's like you were being a dick to him before he was here.
Yeah. And honestly, like, did Daryl cross the line? I don't think so. But like, I don't think it's that bad to block. You know, and people are trying to compare it to Baker Mayfield. Now, if Deshaun Watson comes out next week that he's talking shit at a press conference and he's bringing up people's things people said on, that is a whole different ballgame. And then I will be concerned about the fact he's blacking people because then it's telling me they're getting to him mentally, right? And that's not what you want to see from your starting quarterback. If you have the foresight, if you could see, I don't block people because I don't want to give them the satisfaction.
Oh, I got crazy amount of accounts blocked.
Oh, see,
I'm in the thousands. I'll really? Pull it up. Not what? People, though. Any promoted tweet on my feed, I block the account.
Okay.
So every, like, my ads on Twitter now are, like, all in different languages and shit. Like, I blocked every.
They got to give you something.
Yeah, every major company in the world.
That's funny.
My mute list is like that. Yeah. I can scroll for days. I have friends I've muted. I have I've muted my brother for like a year. I fucking mute other media people. I mute. And if you talk shit to me multiple times and I usually don't give a fuck if you talk shit to me, but there's been a couple guys that have gotten really under my skin. I just mute you.
Yeah.
Because I don't need to see it.
You gone.
Yeah, exactly. You're just out of my existence. To me, that's healthy because I'm trying to protect my own mental sanity. And if this dude's trying to bounce back from what he's trying to bounce back from and is going to be a good quarterback, he needs to make, that seems like a decent decision to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, whatever way he can handle it, you know, if it's just, oh, this is some bullshit block, like, probably some quick shit, you know, that's how he handles it. Fuck it. Like, it's not affecting him for real.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, That's how it is.
Yeah, I and like you just
they're definitely hurt though. You're like they're thinking about it. They're like, oh, you didn't get a snap off, and I'm already blocked. Fuck. Like, yeah. What am I gonna do? Like, he's probably more hurt than Deshaun is by blocking him.
Yeah, I don't know. I know Joe pretty good. I think he wears that as a badge of honor, to be honest with you.
Think?
Yeah, I think so. I think McNeil probably similar. I think it's more of a pain in the ass for Daryl because now to see Deshaun's tweets, he has to pull up like an unlogged in Safari. Yeah. Like Safari.
Or a different account. Yeah, he's got to have a burner to see him now.
Oh, Daryl definitely has a burner.
Yeah.
Which I would say for sure he's got a burner. Who else in the Cleveland media you think is like running on burners out there?
Ooh, I think a lot of them. I think that the like burners, people think like, oh, Kevin Durant had a burner. That's so funny. You think LeBron doesn't have burners?
Oh,
you think
yeah.
that everybody, any athlete doesn't have burners? Like, of course they
Lima's
do.
Lima's got a burner, if I would be willing to bet. I'd put good money on Lima.
Anybody's got a burner that's tweeting to the public.
I don't think Ken Carman has one.
Like, see, I could see him with one. Maybe. I could see anybody with a burner. It's like
I swear I don't have one. Like, I literally do not have one. I can show you my logins. My logins is
no, I believe you, but I'm saying
that
like,
hasn't even started yet, that will be starting soon. ESPN, Jesus Christ. Our Barstool Cleveland one, and then mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I believe that you don't have one, but like, if it came out that you did have one or you made one in like a week and we found it later, I'd be like, oh yeah. Like, I don't even think it's a bad thing. It's just like, that's just Will's burner.
Maybe this is a generational thing because you guys don't find it that weird. I guess I used to find it weird. I had my biggest podcast ever. When I did a solo podcast for a while, was one where I exposed Tony Rizzo had burners mm-hmm. when he was at ESPN Cleveland. It became huge fucking news. It's still like, if you Google my name, it's like two of the top 10
Rizzo
things
burners.
That, yeah, it's like wow. one of the two of the top things that pops up. It's like all over Reddit and shit. At that time, that was huge news. I agree with you. Now, I don't think anybody would really give a fuck. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's so mainstream. But what I was going to say before, when we were talking about, like, you compared it to the Baker and him blocking accounts, I was actually going to quote Daryl Ryder's tweet and be like, here's the difference between Baker and Deshaun is Deshaun just blocked you and you had to go and like search and figure that out. Baker has to like announce, hey, I'm stepping off social media yeah. or I have an issue with this reporter.
Unblocking, liking a tweet and then reblocking.
Exactly. Like he's not doing that. He's just like you said, like just not, I don't want to see this. So I'm just blocking, muting, whatever it is.
Yeah, I'd rather have him do the blocking and decide or going against the whatever Baker would do, like announcing yeah. that or like tweeting bullshit like, oh, this and that, or his wife posting yeah. on Instagram some weeks.
Well, if he starts doing that, I'll be fucking concerned for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
but yeah.
But he's not gonna end up.
And I think the reason why he's blocking instead of muting, and we're going so deep into yeah. Deshaun Watson's Twitter habits, which is hilarious, but I think he's blocking those guys instead of just muting them like you would or I would so people don't know that they're muted, is so it's kind of like a, like, so they know, you know what I mean? Like, I yeah. know that you said this about me, so, like, you're blocked.
Yeah.
So, like, almost, like, to accounts like us or other reporters that's like, hey, maybe don't beat Deshaun up about this or you're going to be blocked by him. Yeah. I don't know.
I do think it's fair to bring up, because he is the Browns reporter, so it is fair to write articles and bring it up. From what I saw in the past couple of days of tweeting, it didn't look like Daryl said anything out of line. The one thing I don't want to see Deshaun do that Baker was the worst at, and this is where the huge difference is you can't take that into media availability. Like, if you block someone, you can't then, unless they're being assholes and out of line with
yeah,
you
be a dick to them in person.
Yeah, because that is the business. Like, that is part of the business you are in. Mm. You're gonna have to interact with those guys every single Wednesday and every single post game. That's when they talk. You're gonna have to interact with them. You come off as a fucking baby. If you used to like, there was a guy like Colt McCoy used to be that way. You said something bad about him, he would fucking treat you like a fucking asshole the next
time.
Yeah,
it's just weak.
Yeah, exactly. It's weak shit. You don't want to see that weak shit out of your quarterback. Right?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think he'll be that way, but I don't know.
He's going to act like it doesn't faze him.
Well, and Deshaun's actually very active on social media too.
Yeah, he is.
So I think that's probably why. Like, he's probably just muting, blocking everything. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different generation. Yeah. We use social media. I can get into that when there's not an ongoing investigation. Right. Remember when he said that in the press conference?
Yeah,
when
yeah.
they're like, what does that mean? You use Instagram.
Yeah, literally, it's like I said before, it's probably the fact that he has been fucking off Instagram.
Yeah.
Every famous person fucks off Instagram.
For sure.
It's
even not famous people.
Yeah, even not famous people, but famous people are famous for flying chicks out. Where do you think that starts at? Starts on Instagram.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not saying he didn't do anything beyond that, but I'm saying the people who don't even understand the concept of why.
Yeah, that's what pisses me off when people fixated on that. It was just like, you know what he's saying.
Yeah, that is the concept of how it happened. Now, what happened behind those closed doors, we don't fucking know. And hopefully we get some more clarity on it so everybody who doesn't feels a little bit dirty about it still can feel a little less dirty about it, and then you don't have to even have this conversation. But that is the general concept of how all that shit started.
Yeah, well, we'll have a clearer picture too on Friday, because I don't know if you guys saw, but like the judge requested all the medical records and everything to be like whatever brought by all the victims. So I don't know. I mean, what happens on Friday if like only four of the women come forward with like the stuff that they needed or was requested, and like a bunch of the allegations get thrown out, and then it's like this entire thing gets thrown away. Like I'm thinking in that aspect, or it's like, what if all 22 just come with like binders full of like all their like appointments and everything?
You might be fucked, but they seem pretty confident that's not going to be the case.
Yeah,
because they wouldn't be requesting them,
exactly.
Right?
I mean, exactly.
Them trying to get the records instead of the other way, where they're trying to push the records on the court case. So you're right. We will see on Friday. That'll be interesting. We only got a couple more minutes here because I have to get out of here. Mm-hmm. Otherwise my son's going to be sitting in the pitch dark after baseball practice in a little bit. I want to jump to this one. Kyrie, shout out Cleveland. I don't want to spend too much time on it. I knew there was still a little bit of love for the run that he had here in Cleveland, because that was more the shout out.
That was the first time he admitted something, though.
Yeah, he did say they had a great – the fan base was great. The run was legendary.
Yeah, and then he said something about LeBron, too, on the podcast. I have a picture
of something good about LeBron?
Something good about LeBron.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's out of his mind.
Kyrie finally shouting out Cleveland, saying that we had a nice run. He said about LeBron, he said, shout out to LeBron. I would never slight him. I respect the hell out of him, and we've been through our own battles as teammates, as competitors together. That's like water under the bridge.
I feel didn't he slight him for an entire summer, though?
Yeah, so yeah, I think basically this is just Kyrie being like, wow, I just got fucking swept. It's not as easy as it was.
Yeah, he got humbled.
Slice of humble pie. Yeah.
He's finally realizing, I might have fucked up.
I think they both
realize at this point that, like, even LeBron, who's like one of the most arrogant people on earth, I still think there's a big piece of him that goes, man, we could have handled that a lot better. And there should have been more runs out of that. And maybe if I had not treated him as such a kid brother, leave me the fuck alone, it wouldn't have soured so fast. I think both those guys, when you listen to them both talk about it, now that he said this, even LeBron, some of his comments about those years were like, there should have been more to that than actually happened.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, Kyrie, like you just said, he said water under the bridge, but they're so removed from it now. It's like perspective thing. Yeah, like, fuck. Yeah. Like they would have just stayed here and we could have just stayed good.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much we could think about with that shit, but
it almost makes it more magical that it was just this one thing and then it fucking went away.
Yeah, it went away.
I would have loved more championships, don't get me wrong, if it was like, man, 16 was the best of those three, that would have been dope, but like the fact that there's just this one magical championship.
Just one.
Yeah.
That could be Kyrie's only one, and that's easily right now, that's LeBron's best championship.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think that gets topped. I don't think it sticks out. No matter what he does, it gets topped. Yeah. But, holy shit, I was literally just going to forget what I was going to say. Someone else say something.
Your Bruins are down 2-0. That ain't
good. I know.
Oh, man.
Not
but,
a good start.
But a two-goal lead at the end of the first is the hardest lead in sports. Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah, it's the hardest lead to keep. Two-goal lead.
Yeah.
Quickly, before we get out of here, the last thing I want to go to. Do you guys see Britney Spears? Tom Brady got $375 million, whatever. We don't really need to talk about that. Or we could save it for Thursday. I don't really have a hot take on that. But did you see Britney Spears posted the same nude 12 times on IG in 5 hours?
No.
Where she's covering her tits and has a little heart over her.
12 times in 5 hours?
It's on three posts, and two of them are three picture slides with different filters in the same picture. And then the other one is a six picture slide.
Ooh, that's like scary. It's like giving me the chills.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah,
right?
It's like,
what kind of drugs is she doing?
She's off her fucking. I mean, everybody wanted to free Britney. This is the type of shit you were going to get when she got freed. She's fucking out there, bro.
Yeah, that's like a weird, like, there's like a message behind that. Because remember back, like, before, like, when the Free Britney movement started.
The yellow shirt?
Yeah, people would comment, like, wear a yellow shirt in your next video. Yeah. And she would, like, be staring at the camera all weird and, like, dancing in a yellow shirt. And, like, there was, like, two or three instances where she, like, wore whatever the most liked comment was. And if she's doing shit like that, we got to keep our eye on it.
We do have to
keep our eye on it. We'll keep tabs.
Secret messages. That's what it is. Maybe she wants to get locked back up. Maybe this new guy is the fucking... He's a
weird shit.
Isn't he like 21 or something? He's super young.
What? She has another conservatorship?
No, she's like, it's like her guy she's marrying.
I think really?
She's a kid and stuff? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah.
So, you know what this is? This is, what's that movie with Where they have the Da Vinci Code. This is like the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, we should try and decode this.
I think, yeah, there's got to be some kind of cipher to figure out what the fuck she's saying.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks she's an idiot and she's crazy. She is way smarter than everybody.
Yeah, she's just 10 steps ahead of everyone else. We got to look at like the names of the filter she was using. Yeah. Like, what if it's like there's somehow coordinates mixed in?
What's the 12th letter of the alphabet? Maybe it's 3312. We have to look some of that. Yeah. All right, yeah, we should do this. A little bit of
investigation. Yeah. Put a black light on the Constitution, see if there's any clues on there.
You put a black light on her, you're going to see a whole lot on there. hot or not, Britney Spears? Hot.
No, not.
No, not. I'm with you. Not.
She's a fucking, literally a crackhead. She just posted the same nude 12 times in 5 hours. She's a crackhead.
Weird, right?
Do it another 12 times.
Yeah. Well, we know where clock's got to go after this.
Yep.
How do they follow us, Joe?
Yeah, so you guys go on Twitter, BS_Cleveland. IG, Cleveland Barstool, TikTok, Barstool Cleveland, YouTube, subscribe to the YouTube, Barstool Cleveland, turn the post notifications on, watch Pound Town on there. Fixes In is coming Thursday. That's with Clock and I. It's going to change your life. Chase video on there, Irish Flu Tour, opening day, CSU.
Buy merch. Buy the merch.
NAB We Trust, Tristan McKenzie, F Them Picks.
There you go. And you can find all the merch. Either go to the Barstool store itself or just go to our link tree. It's the top spot on there. How do they follow you? By the way, middle-aged man video, hilarious.
Did you like it?
Yeah, the salmon, shit had me fucking rolling. I'm not going to lie. We eat salmon like 3 times a week at my house, really? But I actually love salmon.
So, like salmon. I do enjoy salmon.
Yeah, salmon salad.
Something clicked in her head, and now it's like we have to eat it all the time. Dude, it's so funny.
Yeah. Middle-aged man, lukewarm soda video out now. Go check that out. Tinted Clock, IG, and Twitter. Like Joe said, The Fix Is In, first episode, Thursday. It will change your life.
Yep.
At Will Burge, I promise you, 2 Martini Lunch is coming. It's being put together. We're going to be in the office soon, which will make it even easier.
Yep.
Some of the shit will be off my fucking, off my shoulders. I won't have so many damn responsibilities. And then June 10th, Rum Runners, come check us out. Stay all fucking night, spend a bunch of money. We'll talk to you Friday.
Peace.